I'm going to try tonight to bring you a Bible study from the 91st Psalm. Would you turn there to Psalm 91, which Brother Imes read a few moments ago? I believe this is my wife Darcy's favorite scripture. She's been asking me for several weeks now, when are you going to preach on Psalm 91? Well, tonight's the night. I'm preaching on Psalm 91. I trust I'll be preaching on Psalm 91. I hope the Lord lets me preach with the power of God's Spirit. Barnard said one time, he said, my voice is the only voice you hear here tonight. Nothing of any benefit or spiritual wealth or blessing will be yours. But if you hear him who speaks from heaven, hear him who speaks through his word, you go away with a blessing. I do know that. Psalm 91. And I'll try to stay with my text as best I can. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. What is the secret place of the Most High? Well, in Old Testament days, the secret place was the Holy of Holies. There was a tabernacle. Turn to Hebrews 9. There was a tabernacle. And it says here in Hebrews 9, verse 1. Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly tabernacle, worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, the table, and the showbread. It was 45 feet long, 15 feet wide, 15 feet high. It was the most beautiful, beautiful interior you could ever imagine. But it was covered with badger skin. But it was taken away from taken from place to place by the Israelites. And that's where all of the services of the tabernacle were performed. And it says in verse 2, there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick. There was the lights, the seven golden candlesticks, table of showbread, and the incense, place to burn incense. And then in verse 3, after the second veil, the veil in the temple, the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all. That's the holiest of the holy place, and then the holiest of all. And there was the Ark of the Covenant, overlaid round about with gold, wherein was a golden pot that had manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shattering the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak now particularly. Now I want you to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 25. And Moses described this ark of the covenant with the cherubims. In Exodus 25, verse 21 and 22. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony, that is the Ten Commandments, in that ark that I shall give thee. And there God says, I'll meet you. There I'll meet with you. And I will commune with you from above the mercy seat between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all the things which I give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. There is the Holy of Holies. And there is the ark. Inside the ark was the Ten Commandments, the covenant, the law. On it, the mercy seat. And over that ark were two cherubims, their wings facing this way, between the cherubims. And God says, I'll meet you there and I'll commune with you. But he tells us over here in Hebrews chapter 9. Turn over there in Hebrews chapter 9. He tells us here in verse 7. In verse 6 of chapter 9 of Hebrew. And now when these things were ordained, the priest went into the tabernacles, accomplishing the service of God. In this first tabernacle, in this first, the holy place, the priest went in and out. All, they kept the candles burning. They kept the showbread fresh. They kept the incense burning, all these things. But now watch verse 7. But into the Holy of Holies went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people. There is the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And there's the holy place. And the priest, they went about their business there and doing the different things they had to do. But into that holy place, into the presence of God, into that holy place, went the high priest one time a year, not without blood, which he offered for the sacrifice of the people. But now, when our Lord died on the cross, turn to Matthew chapter 27. When our Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, when our great high priest, the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, Matthew 27, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, what happened? That veil in the temple was rent in twain from the top, almost as if God reached down from heaven, from the top. It wasn't torn down here when the sliver turned, torn in it. It was torn in two. From top to bottom. All right, listen to this. Matthew 27, verse 50. Now when Jesus Christ cried with a loud voice, again with a loud voice, yielding up the ghost, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. That division between the holy place and between the people and the secret place, the holy place, was torn in two. What? Now what? All right. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And when our Lord put away our sins, verse 19, Hebrews chapter 10. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, by the blood of Jesus, into that holy place within the veil, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And now, having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near into the very presence of God in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It's open. And now every believer can come into the very presence of God. And that's what he's saying here in Psalm 91, back to my text. He that dwelleth. We dwell in the presence of God now. That our Lord said to that thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise, in the presence of God, in the holy place. We dwell there. We dwell there in the most holy place, and we abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He said concerning that covenant, I'll meet you there. Well, when Christ Jesus bore our sins and that veil was rent in two, he meets us there in his presence. That's what it is. In the shadow of his wings, David said, will I make my refuge until all these calamities be overpassed. All right, verse 2. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Four names here given to our God. In verse 1, it says he's the most high. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the most high God. Secondly, under the shadow of the Almighty, the sovereign God. I will say of the Lord, Jehovah, he is my refuge and he's my God in whom I trust. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 32. Our refuge, our Lord Jesus Christ is our refuge. I will say of the Lord, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I will say, he's my refuge. And listen, here's that refuge in Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man, the God-man, shall be as a hiding place from the wind. A hiding place from the wind. A covert, a covering from the tempest and from the rain. As rivers of water in a dry place. As the shadow of a rock in a weary land. I'll say of the Most High. I'll say of the Almighty. I'll say of my Lord and my God. In him I trust. Don't trust in men. Trust in God. David wrote in Psalm 146. I want you to read this. Psalm 146. David wrote here in Psalm 146, verse 3 through 10. Listen to this. Put not your trust in princes, in human leaders, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there's no help. Don't trust him. Because his breath goes forth. Just as soon as he stops breathing, he stops living. Just one thing between any human being and death is one breath. When he stops breathing, he stops living. His breath goes forth, and what happens? He returns to his earth. He has a place, and it's his earth. Dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. In that day, his thoughts perish, his plans perish, his purposes perish, and all of his conniving and planning is over. He's gone. Don't trust in him. Trust in the Lord. Don't put your trust in man. That's what he's saying here. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. He's my strength. He's my fortress. He's my God. In him alone, I trust. Look at verse 3. Now, here from verse 3 through 8, you just hold it right there and let me talk about these five verses. Verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. This is six verses. In these six verses, there are seven shalls. I shall. I shall. I shall. God says seven times, I shall. Now you put your trust in me. Don't trust in man. Put your trust in me. And I shall do these following things. First of all, you know, all of us are plagued with certain fears and doubts and uncertainties. It's just a fact of life. Uncertainties, doubts, and fears in this world. You know, Paul had them. I read this the other day. Turn to Romans chapter 9. The Apostle Paul, you know, you talk about times of depression and times of fear and times of doubts and times of uncertainty. I want you to listen to Paul here. His heart was so broken for his brethren according to the flesh. Here, listen to what he said in Romans chapter 9. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. This is the truth. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. I have great heaviness. Great heaviness. Continual sorrow in my heart. I could wish myself accursed from Christ by my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. That's a burden. That's a burden. That's a terrible, terrible burden to Paul. Turn to 2 Corinthians. We just read this in the study a while ago. David Parker read 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is Paul talking now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. But I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles which came to us in Asia. We were pressed out of measure. Depressed? Pressed out of measure. Above strength, insomuch we despaired even as out of our life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. So most of our fears and our doubts are our own fault. I know that. I know that. But whether they're our own fault or not, they're real. Trouble is real. Heartache is real. Doubts and fears are real because we're human beings. That's what we are. But he tells us here now, if you dwell in me and abide in me, you don't go in and out the door. You abide in me and dwell in me. I'm your refuge and I'm your fortress and I'm your strength. And look at verse 3. All right, here it is, the seven I shall. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Who is the fowler? I'll tell you who the fowler is. It's Satan. That's exactly right. You turn to Matthew chapter 6. I'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. One person said this, the snare of the fowler. The fowler is the one that takes birds and brings them to himself. In Matthew chapter 6, the Lord said here in the disciples' prayer, Matthew 6, he said, Matthew 6 verse 7. Matthew 6 verse 7. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Now be not ye like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. But after this manner praise you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The evil one. That's who he's talking about. He's talking about Satan. The fowler is Satan. And he delivers us from the snare of the fowler. Jeremiah, I find this verse in Jeremiah. It has to do with that very thing. In Jeremiah chapter 5. Verse 26. Jeremiah 5, verse 25. For your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things for you. For from among my people are found wicked men, and they lay wait, and they set snares, and they set a trap to catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. He said, I'll deliver you from the captivity and the snare of the fowler. You know, over here in the book of Jude, I'm using a lot of scripture, but I want you to see this scripture. In Jude, verse 8, Satan is a powerful enemy. Our Lord said, he taught us to pray, deliver us from the evil one. But how are we going to be delivered from the evil one? Only by his power, not our own. And here in Jude 8, there are just two or three archangels that are mentioned in the scripture, Michael and Gabriel. Well, here's one in Jude verse 8. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, but he did not bring against Satan a railing accusation. He said, the Lord rebuke thee. That's God's business. So he said, Lord, I'll deliver you. You don't need to fear Satan, the snares of Satan, the wiles of Satan. I'll deliver you. I'll deliver you from Satan. I shall. If you dwell in the secret place of the Most High, I'll deliver you. All right, look at the next shall. In verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid. No, it's in verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 4. He shall deliver thee. He shall cover thee with his feathers. He'll cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. You know, someone said this. If this scripture was not inspired, it would border on blasphemy. Comparing the Lord God to a bird or to a chicken. But you know, you think about that mother hen. That's what we're talking about here. He'll cover you with his feathers and under his wings. But that mother hen has 5 or 6 little chickens, and they're out eating, pecking away, you know, and she sees trouble, sees the hawk or someone coming, and she calls them. And those hens, those chickens all run under her wings, under her protective care. And that's what our Lord's saying here. He says, I'll cover you with my feathers and under my wings. Under his wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How my heart yearningly turns to his rest. Often, when earth has no balm for my healing, in him I find comfort. In him I find rest. Also, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he'll cover you with his feathers under his wings. That's under the wings of the cherubim in the mercy seat. I'll cover you. I'll protect you. I'll protect you. Under his wings, I'll protect you. And watch this. And his truth, his word, shall be my shield and my buckler. A shield may be any size. Back in olden days, some shields would cover, some were small, but some covered the whole person. A shield was a big, vast thing. A buckler. A shield could cover the whole body, but a buckler was worn on the hand or on the arm. And it was needed for movement. And if the arrow came or the charge came, that buckler held off the assault, or that elbow buckler. And that shield of faith and that buckler defended the person. And that's the Word of God. The Word of God. His truth is my shield and my defense and my buckler. And I read one time that from some Jewish writers, the mighty men of David's army carried their shields with great pride. Their shields were stamped with their family crest, their family colors. Their shields represented the things that they believed and the things that they held dear and the things that they considered the greatest things to them. And it was said of these men, carry your shield and carry your shield home, or be carried home on your shield. But don't cast it aside and don't sell out to the enemy. His shield and his buckler is my truth. Take your shield, bring it home, or be brought home on your shield. Don't sell out to the enemy. Don't give in. His truth and his word will keep you. Turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 through 17. This is what we're talking about here. Ephesians 6, verse 14 through 17. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and you're having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take that shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. He'll deliver you from the snare of the fowler. He'll cover you with his wings, and under his truth, his wings shalt thou trust, and his truth, his word, will be your shield and your buckler. Now watch this. And thou shalt, here's the fourth shall, thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night. Darkness falls, and the workers of darkness roam and prowl. And most evil is the product of darkness. Our children, when we had children at home, were all told to be in by 11 o'clock. Because I found out that most evil is prevalent more in darkness than in daylight and after the late hours. That's right. Put a curfew on your children. That's right. Look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 7 through 12. Verse 7 through 12. But he'll protect us in the darkness, and here's our protection. In verse 7 of Psalm 139. Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shalt thy hand lead me and thy right hand hold me. If I say, surely the darkness will cover me, no, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. And the darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You don't have to be afraid of the darkness because he'll protect you. The light, the darkness will be light about you. The same thing is said of lightning and storms. I want you to turn to Job chapter 38. You know, fear is a real thing. A lot of people, and you don't act foolishly in storms or in lightning, but God controls the lightning and the storms. He'll take care of his people. Look at Job chapter 38. Job 38 verse 33. Listen. Knowest thou that the ordinances of heaven... Knowest thou that the ordinances of heaven, knowest thou the ordinances of heaven, can thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Can you lift your voice to the clouds that the abundance of water may cover you? Can you send lightnings that they go and say unto thee, here I am? God sends a lightning. You can stand out on a beautiful night with an electric storm going on, the lightning just flashing, but you don't need to be afraid. I really believe that. He said, I say to the lightnings, go, and they go. I just question whether God's going to kill me with a lightning strike when he said it, you know. But if he did, that'd be all right, wouldn't it? Because he said, he's mine, it's my lightning. I can send it like I want to. All right. Back to our shout, thou shalt not be afraid. of the terror by night. And don't be afraid of that arrow that flies by day. I tried to look up something here on this, and this somebody said, well, arrows fly suddenly, and they fly swiftly, like an accident in a coal mine. But everything's going fine, and suddenly, a great accident, or in the mills, or on the highway. This is a day of sudden death. This is a day of arrows flying by day. Arrows fly by day. Sudden death. But we don't need to fear that. Our Lord said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. He didn't say there isn't any evil. There is evil. But I don't have to fear it, because He is with me. And His rod and His staff comfort me. And I don't have to be afraid. Evil is going to come. It's going to come suddenly. Darcy and I, for years, have gone to Pensacola, Florida, with our children on vacation. We always went to Pensacola. And the year that our son, Robbie, joined the Army and went to basic training, and then he was shipped out to Vietnam in June of that year. And Doris and I and Becky and Paul went to Florida. And happy, we were having such a wonderful time, and went to Florida on vacation. And Doris was sitting down by the seashore writing a letter to Robbie. He'd been out over there about 12 days, 9 or 10, 11, 12 days. She was writing a letter, and I was running around with the children, and two uniformed officers came to the door, knocked at the door. And the children answered the door, and they said, your parents here. But Dad's out here, and Mother's down by the seashore. We would like for them to come up here. So Doris came up, and I came in, and they said, your son has been killed in Vietnam. Like that. Arrows that fly by day and by night. Sudden death, sudden heartache, sudden trials. And but God didn't say there won't be any evil. He said, don't you fear it. Don't you give in to it. Don't you give up to it. You trust Him. That's what this is saying. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He'll deliver you from Satan. He'll deliver you from the powers and pestilence. He'll cover you with His feathers, under His wings. Your truth will be His shield and buckler. You don't have to be afraid of lightning and storms, and you don't even have to be afraid of these arrows that come suddenly. So suddenly, so swiftly, so harshly. But it's all in His divine will for our good and for His glory. That's right. You don't have to be afraid. Look at verse 6. Of the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Somebody said, what is that? Well, that's germs. And that's disease. And that's plagues. That's unseen enemies. We're sometimes afraid of the unseen, but it's unseen. It's not unseen to Him. He knows all about it. You don't need to be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness. Now watch this. And you don't need to be afraid of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. What's noonday? I'll tell you what that is. Noonday is judgment day. Noonday is the day of our Lord. Noonday is the day of His return. It's judgment. You don't need to be afraid of the destruction that'll come at noonday. What's going to happen? Verse 7. 1,000 will fall at your side. 10,000 will fall at your right hand, but won't come to you. That's what this is. This is judgment.
1,000, 10,000 fall around you, and yet it won't come nigh you. All right, let me read it for you. Revelation 20. Revelation chapter 20. See, this is our God. His protection, His care, His love, His comfort, His consolation. It's God. It's our God. In Revelation 12, Revelation 20, verse 12. Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is second death. And whosoever was not written in the book of life, they're written in the book of life, were cast into the lake of fire. But it shall not come nigh thee. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes. Now someone says, the judgment of God, we'll be there. But we'll not be there as a subject. We'll not be there as a criminal, as a object of this wrath. We'll be there as a witness. As a witness. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of that great day. Judgment at noonday. Judgment at noonday. All right, summing this up, let me ask you a question. Do you know why that we dwell within the veil in the secret place? Do you know why we're delivered from Satan, from his snare? Do you know why we're covered with his wings? Do you know why amid chaos and plagues and all these things, we're unharmed? You know why, even when the arrows fly at noonday, why that we're comforted by our God? Do you know why 10,000 will fall at your side and not come nigh you? Here it is, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, your habitation, your dwelling place. We dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, within the veil. We abide under the shadow of His wings. And know, verse 10, there shall no evil befall you. Neither shall any plague come nigh your dwelling. It's not going to do it. Just what He ordains and what He ordains and sends our way for our good and His glory. Always, God has a reason for everything He does. God moves in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. He plants His footsteps on the sea. He rides on the storms. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercies, and they will break with blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. Don't judge Him. Don't trust Him for His power. Behind a frowning providence, He hides a smiling place. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. He has a reason for this. And all of these things that we're going through right now, looks like the hand of the Lord is heavy upon us, and it is. It's all right, though. It's for our good and His glory. And we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to give up our shield, give up our truth, and give up the things we believe. We're going to stand by Him. And He's going to comfort us. He is our comforter. That's right. And He says in verse 10, there's no evil going to befall you, not any plague come nigh your dwelling. For, watch this now, He'll give His angels charge over thee. Keep thee in all thy ways. You believe in the guardian angels of the Lord? Well, of course you do.
It's throughout the Scripture. He'll give his angel. You know, Satan said that to our Lord. Is it written? He'll give his angels charge over thee. Keep thee in all thy ways, lest you dash the foot against the stone. Angel, guardian angel. Let me read you some Scripture. Psalm 34. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Not around everybody. The angel of the Lord doesn't encamp around everybody. He encamps around those that fear him. And he delivers them. He will deliver them. Hebrews 1. Are not his angels ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Matthew 18. Take heed now that you despise not these little ones, the Lord's children. I say in heaven. I say that in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of their Father which is in heaven. His angels. He gives his angels charge. Don't be afraid. Evil's there, but you don't have to fear it. They'll bear you up in their hands, lest you dash thy, your foot against the stone. Look at verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder. That's the dragon. That's that old dragon, Satan. You'll tread upon him. The Lord's going to cast him under our feet. That's what the Scripture says. All your enemies will be his footstool. You tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under his under feet. Because. Somebody said there's a conclusion here in these next three verses. There's a because and a therefore. There's a because and a therefore. And here it is, verse 14. Because he set his love upon you, therefore. If he set his love on you, don't be afraid. Therefore. And he gives us, I'm not going to tell you how many, come on, I just read it here. Therefore, I will. Because he sets his love upon us, therefore I will. I will what? I will deliver him. I'll deliver him. Secondly, I'll set him on high, seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Because he's known my name, he shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I'll answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I'll deliver him. I'll honor him with long life. What kind of long life? Eternal life. That's what we're talking about. With long life. I'll satisfy him. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to show him my salvation. I'm going to show him my salvation. Old Simeon. The Lord appeared to Simeon and said that. Said, you're not going to see death till you've seen the Lord's Christ. You're not going to see death till you've seen the Lord's Christ. Oh, Simeon spent his days looking for that. His hair got white as snow and beard got long. He got bent over through the shoulders and his steps were slow. And he came to the house of God one day. And there was a young woman, Virgin Mary, and her husband Joseph came in with a baby in their arms to be dealt with according to the law of Moses. You know, according to he that opened the womb must be bring a certain sacrifice. And so they brought in this baby boy. And old Simeon, Scripture said, took him up in his arms. He looked up into heaven. And he said, Lord,
Now let thy servant depart in peace according to your word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. That's all I need to see is thy salvation. That's what that's talking about. I will deliver him. I will set him on high with long life. I'll satisfy him eternal life. And I'm going to show him my salvation. I hope that's a blessing to you. Let's have Brother Rich lead us in singing that hymn, Under His Wing.